Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father in heaven, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach all of us in the area of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in the area of revival. Father, I believe, Lord, that this nation, this land, Christians need revival. Lord, I pray that this church and the church in Nakhon Pathom will be the light, the place that the fire of God will spread throughout Thailand and many parts of the world. Many nations shall be blessed by the fire of God to come out from these two churches. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will add more people into the house, that many people will come in and get touched by the Spirit of God, and their life will never be the same. I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your guidance tonight, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I have similar experience as Sister Michelle, that actually I came from Buddhism, but I was born again 24 years ago in the evangelical church, which did not believe in much about Holy Spirit. And then I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1983, spoke in tongues, and I thought I have arrived. I thought that my Christian life already graduated, because I know the word and I spoke in tongues. I thought that I graduated already. But later on, I began to feel the same way that Arash felt. I felt dry. I felt very defeated. I couldn't do what God called me to do. I may act like I was okay in front of public, but inside I was so dry, and I didn't have strength. I did not have very good relationship with my wife. We tried, but we fought all the time. We were fighting. We were not happy. The ministry was very dragging, until one day in 1996, that God told me that you need revival. You need the touch of God. And I didn't totally understand that I needed the touch of God, because at that time I didn't understand the Bible. But I obeyed the Lord. He even told me where to go. So I went. And that day, when the fire of God touched me in that year, in that meeting, my life has never been the same. And I have been changed totally. And I'm still being changed every single week. 2 days ago, I was sitting with my wife eating dinner. And I told her that, Da, you know, this week, I'm changed again. Ooh, God is changing me every week by the fire of God. Oh, it's so good. I love it. Hallelujah. Now Christianity becomes so real. Now it's not just a theory. Now it's not just about the word of God saying, but now it's become real to me because of the Holy Spirit who work on the inside. Why didn't I know this many years ago? Why God just started to tell me in 1996? I missed so many years of revival. And God told me, the reason I let you miss it, not like a situation like me, who came in and got touched by revival right away, because he told me, so that you could understand other believers in the body of Christ, how they feel. So you understand what they're going through. Now I understand what people are going through, because I went through the same thing they are going through right now. I believe now, after being in revival, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for 7 years, I now come to the conclusion. Even the big elephant will try to pull me back. Even the devil tried to come and threaten to kill me. Even people would give me $1 million and tell me to stop revival in the church. Even people can use all kind of whatever church doctrine to stop me from moving on in revival. I would say, too late. It's too late. I'm going to deep. I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go deeper in revival. It's too late because I believe that every church, that every Christian needs revival. And the revival must be there all the day of their life. Because once revival stops, once it stops, you know what happened? The church gonna go back into religion. The church gonna go back in tradition. The church gonna go into control, into manipulation. The pastor will begin to control people. The pastor gonna begin to manipulate people because it's not done by the Spirit of God. Everything must be done by the Spirit of God. And how can you do things by the Spirit of God if you are not controlled by the Spirit of God yourself? When we talk about revival, we are not talking about just have a nice meeting for 3 hours and long teaching, day and night. I'm not talking about long day and night and teaching. When we talk about revival, it's not just have a nice music. Revival is not just about special meeting or camp meeting. Revival can happen in your bedroom. It doesn't have to be a meeting. Revival can happen in your car. Revival can happen in the airplane. The revival can happen in front of the restroom, happened to me already. One time revival happened to me in front of a restroom in the hotel. I was standing there talking to God. The Holy Spirit came down on me and I was shaken by the power of God. And I was drunk in the Spirit and I was laughing and crying in front of the restroom in the hotel for 1 hour on the floor. Revival can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be a special meeting. Amen. What is revival? Revival means that God pour His Spirit, pour the fire of God upon His people, the flesh, so that all the doors, all the bad stuff, all the bad wrong doctrines, all the lukewarmness, the love of the world, demons, power of darkness, lukewarmness, tiredness, depression, sadness, everything that pull you back from God, and sickness and disease, poor relationship, poverty, anything that hinder us from following God will be destroyed and burned by the fire of God so that we can rise up and we can depend and we can live on the rivers of God. We can live by the refreshing of the rivers or the Holy Spirit of God all the days of our life. It's about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It's about the real tangible presence of God. It's about the touch of God. It's about the infilling and re-infilling and re-infilling of the Spirit of God. It's about the glory of God. And this is a prophecy in the Bible. The Bible, if you are not in a church with revival, you miss the prophecy of God. You miss the prophecy of God because the Bible prophesies clearly that the end time church, the church of the end time that Jesus is coming back for, must be the church in revival. And where is it in the Bible? The Bible says in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. Do I go too fast? Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible said that the end time church, the latter church. How many people believe that we are in the end time church? How many people believe that we are in the latter church? What is the first church? What is the early church? The book of Acts. In Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, Philippian church, Thessalonica church, Ephesian church, is that right? That is the early church. But now we are in the end time church. We are in the latter church. And the Bible said that the glory, Everyone say glory.
Glory.
Everyone say glory.
Glory.
The glory of the end time church gonna be greater than the early church. And what is the outcome? There will be peace. When we welcome, I'm gonna explain the word glory in a minute here. Don't worry. I'm gonna explain. When we welcome the glory of God, when we welcome the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when we welcome the presence of God, there will be peace in the house. You notice that since you come to this church, you never see people fight each other. Is that right? There is peace in the house. Since I come into revival, I and my wife have special peace. We rarely fight now. And sometimes, actually, when we have conflict, we look at each other's eyes and we laugh. Because we know that there's no use to fight. We just and she we just laugh at each other. In fact, a few days ago, there was one car tried to cut in front of my car. I tell you, if it happened 7 years ago, he's gonna get a finger. You understand finger mean? I will put my finger up. I cannot do that right now. And I will curse. You understand? Okay. I will put my finger up. Not that finger, the middle one. And then I will curse. I will say something. But 2 days ago when somebody cut in front of my car, I and my wife look at each other. And we smile. And we bless them. Bless you. And we back the car off and let them go by. There is peace. There is peace in revival. There is prosperity in revival. There is power in revival. There is healing in revival. You know why? Because when God is there, when the presence of God is there, when the real person of God show up, He will come with His blessings. He will come with strength. He will come with peace. He will come with joy. He will come with prosperity. He will come with healing. He will come with unity. He will come and bless the church. That's why the church that deny the glory of God and kick out revival is not very wise. Amen. The church that welcome the glory of God is a wise church. Amen. Amen. The Bible say clearly in the Bible about the end time church in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present her mean the church, to Himself, mean to Jesus, a glorious church. Everyone say glory.
Glory.
The glorious is the adjective for the word glory. The church that has the glory of God. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. I tell you one thing, you cannot be without blemish. You cannot be without wrinkle. You cannot be without sin by just studying the Word of God. I have tried that for 20 some years. I try to study the Word of God until my head is big, but I still do the same sin. Why? Because I have no strength. I have no power to obey what I learn. I learn about loving people, but I never love people. Until lately, you know, maybe I go back to that later on. Let me explain the word the glory of God first. Because otherwise, I keep talking about the word glory of God, and you will not understand what I'm talking about. What is glory of God? I tell you, a lot of Christians don't understand the word the glory. I'm going to say a little bit more on Sunday. But I just want to say briefly tonight. The word glory comes from the Hebrew language, which is kabod. C-H-A-B-O-D, kabod. The word kabod in the Hebrew language mean in that time, the old day, when you want to bring gold or silvers from one city to another city, you put gold and silver, which are very heavy, into the bags and put the bags on the back of camels, is that right? And the camels walk with heavy gold on the back of the camels. Or you can carry on the back of the horse or whatever. But the word kabod means heavy weight. Heavy weight. So, even though God is everywhere, how many people agree with me? God is everywhere. In fact, King David say in the book of Psalms that God, when you go to heaven, you meet God. When you go down to hell, you can see God down there, but not to be his dwelling place. He can go there and judge people. You know, understand what I mean? God is everywhere, but if you read throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, there were circumstances that God's presence was so heavy, like a heavy weight. That's why people fall under the power. People always argue with me, why people fall? Because they cannot stand. Do you understand? People ask, why in your church people fall down? Very simple answer. They cannot stand. Do you want anything more complicated than that? The answer? They cannot stand. Why? Because the presence of God is so heavy. They cannot stand. When the presence of God is so heavy, so thick, you can feel it. You can sense, you can see. You can see some manifestation. That's why we call the manifest or tangible. The word tangible in English means something you can touch, something you can feel. When the tangible manifest presence of God show up, people can recognize, like Moses. You remember? Moses saw the tangible, thick presence of God in the burning bush. Yes, God is everywhere, but God comes so strong at that moment in the burning bush, and he can see the fire of God there. When the presence of God is so thick in the Mount Sinai, people heard thundering, the cloud, the fire. The presence of God comes so strong, so heavy, heavy, weighty presence of God. And in the end time church, we call outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When God pour like this, the presence of God comes so thick and so strong. In the Bible, when the presence of God come, the building was shaken. In Acts chapter 12, you remember? When the presence had come so strong, it was so thick, it will come like a pillar of cloud. Come as a pillar of fire. You remember when we're going to read that in a minute later on. When King Solomon celebrate the temple, the presence of God came like a cloud of glory. And the Bible say that the priest could not stand to function. They fell under the power. So people say, I never seen people fall under the power in the Bible. A lot of places I'm going to show you tonight if I have time. A lot of places that people fall under the power. My dear brother and sister, why God wants to bring glory, his glory back to the church? It's so important. Let me tell you this, especially only old believers in this room, old believers. I don't worry much about new believers because they get into right away. But because old believers have a hard time to understand. You need to understand. Let me ask you this question. Listen carefully. How do you feel if you invite, if you are a gentleman and you invite a very beautiful woman for dinner at your home that night, and then you prepare the food, everything, and somebody ring the bell, the doorbell, and you open up, somebody stand there, not a woman though. Somebody stand there with a picture of the woman and say, she come tonight and eat dinner with you. This is she. How do you feel? That's what happened in the church nowadays. We have only the picture. We have only the form of godliness. Have to sit this way. Have to stand this way. We have to sing this way. We have to preach the word this way. But the church never have the presence of God. People never been touched by the presence of God. The presence of God is not thick like Haggai chapter 2 say. If the presence of God is thick, I can guarantee something gonna happen to you. You will never be the same if you come into the church but the presence of God is thick. In fact, Jesus one time told people that I cannot even get into that church. I cannot get in even though he wanted to get it. Why? Because revival must start, listen carefully, from the pastor. Revival must start from the mom and the dad. Revival must start from the care group leader. If you want your member to have revival, it has to start from you. You know why? It has to start from leader, pastor, or church leader and elders and parents. Why? How many people know? Because you are the one who say yes or no to Jesus. If you just want the picture of Jesus, you want just the form of godliness, you just want singing three hymns, three hers, and a few songs, and preaching a little bit, and everyone say bye-bye, go home. You don't have even time for the Holy Spirit to move. Holy Spirit will not move. You know why? Holy Spirit is like a dove. He is a gentleman. He will not move if you don't allow him to move. And you know who blocked the move of the Holy Spirit in the church? Who blocked the presence of God in the church? The pastor. If I want to block him, I can block him. Because he is a gentleman. And that's why it's a deception to say that, oh, I worry about my sheep, therefore I don't want to be in revival. You need to get revival first. You need to get the touch of God first before you can go and help other people. Amen. That's why I make decision 7 years ago. I'm going to get touched by God first. I go first. Let my member wait for me. Because if I don't get touched by God, my members will never get touched by God. Because I'm going to block him. I'm going to block the touch of God in my family. I'm going to block the touch of God in my church. Amen.
Amen.
God promises. He promises. And we call that promise the promise of the Father. That promise is in Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Joel chapter 2, 28. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And you remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8 say, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. My dear brother and sister, let me stop here a little bit. I know that some of you argue with me already in your heart in this theology and doctrine. I know. Because I was there before. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Joel chapter 2 is related to revival. It's related to the fire of God. Is that right? If you read Acts chapter 2 carefully, let me read Acts chapter 2. Okay, and I'm going to explain to you what you try to argue with me in your heart. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire. Wow. This is a doctrine and theology in churches nowadays, especially in Pentecostal churches. Joel chapter 2, 28, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 represent the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I agree. Nothing wrong about that, but don't stop there. A lot of people misunderstand that Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, talking about, okay, I filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, I spoke in tongue, and it's over. I graduate. Totally wrong. Because the Bible also talks about the fire of God in Acts chapter 2. The fire of God came. How many people see the fire of God experience the fire of God when you were filled with the Holy Spirit the first time, speaking in tongues? Many people just filled with the Holy Spirit, but never been filled with the fire of God. And why Luke chapter 11 say you can ask the Father for the Holy Spirit again and again. So actually, I want to wipe out the old theology right now, old doctrine. That you say, oh, one time is enough. I feel with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, speak in tongue, it's done. No, 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 no. God never says so. Can you look in the Bible anywhere in the Bible, but God pour out Spirit one time for you and done, and never again? Can you find that in the scripture? I never seen in the scripture that God say that I pour the Holy Spirit on one man one time. What the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Ephesians 5:18, what the Bible say? Don't be drunk with wine, but keep being filled with the Spirit. So we should keep being filled again and again and again and again by the fire of God. Amen? Is it clear to you? This is a promise of the Father. It's so important that we need to be touched by the fire of God in revival to change our life. Otherwise, your Christian walk will never grow as fast as God wants you to grow. A lot of people say, oh, in the upper room, they just speak in tongue. The only sign of the fire of God or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue and prophesy. I don't agree. I think more than that. Because the Bible talk about the voice was so loud. And the people say they look like they were drunk with new wine. You remember Acts chapter 2 verse 33? And even Peter got up and said, these people were not drunk with wine. So in other words, there must be more than just speaking in tongue. I believe that there must be many manifestations. How people act when they get drunk by wine, by alcohol. How many people get drunk before? Raise your hand up. Me too. I got drunk before. When you got drunk, what happened? What is the meaning of being drunk? How many people know? What is the meaning? Okay, losing self-control. The word being drunk means you are manipulated, controlled, overwhelmed by something. People can be drunk with power. Can people be drunk by lust? Can people be drunk by drugs like, you know, cocaine? People can be drunk by morphine. People can be drunk by alcohol. Is that right? So when you are drunk by something, with something, you are controlled totally by that thing. Why people go out and drink? Want to be happy. Happy. But why people come to church? Everyone looks so sad. I keep looking at the watch. When it's going to be over? When it's going to be over the service? Everyone keep looking at the watch. Because the church is so boring. But why people go to the nightclub and keep drinking and have fun? You know, and laugh and speak without a bit blur speech. The church should be better than nightclub. The church should be filled with the new wine of God. And when I tell you, if you get drunk by the new wine of God one time in your life, this happened to me, I tell you. I love to travel. I love Waikiki Beach. I love Maui. How many people know Maui? Hawaii. I love travel and enjoy. Since I have been in revival, those things doesn't mean much anymore. I love to be drunk in the presence of God. It's more fun. It's more fun to be in the presence of God. And when God touch you, you kind of look like drunk. You speak in tongue. You lost strength. You laugh. And laugh. Not laugh from here. When you get drunk by wine, you drunk from here. Because alcohol control your brain. But when you get drunk by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is inside your spirit. You laugh from the tummy. How many people experience that? When you get drunk by the Holy Spirit, you laugh from the tummy. You feel like something pushed from inside. You don't, you know, I notice interesting. This is interesting. The church that don't like revival attack us that we have laughter. Is that right? Oh, these people crazy. They laugh in the church. But it's amazing. Those pastors who attack revival church make joke on the stage to make people laugh. Why you make joke for people laugh if you don't like the laughter of the Holy Spirit? Which one is better? I rather have the laughter of the Holy Spirit, not the joke from the pastor. Because the joke from the pastor is just a mental joke. But the laughter of the Holy Spirit is the joy of the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Holy Ghost is my strength. I came in this morning, 1 a.m. I tell you, without the joy of God, I would not be able to stand here. Amen. I would be collapsed by now. But because of the joy of God, I have strength. Amen. Amen. That's why I look younger than age. Because the merry heart is the medicine.
Yes.
I haven't had gray hair yet. Because I have the joy of God. I look young. Amen. You need a dose of the joy of God. You need a dose of being drunk. How many people want to be drunk in the spirit tonight? I tell you right now, God say you don't get because you don't ask. If you want something, you need to ask God. You need to ask Him specifically. I tell you, every time I ask God about something, I get it. I never just go out to the prayer line and say, God, whatever. Whatever will be, will be. Questella, Sella. This is because Doris Day theology. Doris Day is the one who sing this song. Questella, Sella. Whatever will be, will be. So whatever God wants to do to me, it's okay. No, 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 no. You go out and ask specifically. God, today I want to laugh in the Holy Ghost. Today I want to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Today I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get ask God specifically. Amen. And it's good for you. It's good for you. Amen. I want to tell you my personal experience right now before I go on to show you from the scripture itself for a few more minutes. I don't think I have time to teach the whole thing yet tonight. You know, my personal experience is this. After I have been in revival, what happened to me? When I'm in revival for the past 7 years, can you imagine? I got drunk in the Holy Spirit many times. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Drunk. Laugh. Sometimes I laugh for 1 hour until my tummy get hurt. And I say, God, I think it's enough now. I start to get hurt. I please stop. You know, sometimes I need to ask God to stop because I got drunk for a long time. I could not walk. I just like this and cry. Sometimes I cry for 1 hour. Cry like a baby. And I feel so embarrassed. My dear brother and sister, before I go on to tell the result of my in my own life, let me say this. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Your ways are higher than your ways. God said that the foolish things of the wise thing of the world is foolish in the eyes of God. Is that right? God said, I try to quote all this scripture so that I will come to the point. God said, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be like these children. The Bible says, God give grace to the humble. Amen. What is the meaning grace? Grace doesn't mean a good ticket that you sign so you can sin. Listen carefully. Grace is not a ticket that you can sign and you can say to God, God, I'm going to go out and sin again. You're going to forgive me again, okay? No, that is a wrong teaching. How many people heard that teaching before? Oh, God, have grace for me. I can sin and He forgive me again. I can sin and He forgive me again. No, 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 no. The word grace in the original language, in the Greek language, mean supernatural power of God given by the Spirit to be able to do what God expects you to do. And God said, I give grace to the humble. Let me ask you this way. If you come into the church, which one, I show you example, which one look like children and which one look like a prideful man? Which one look like a humble man and which one look like a prideful man? Which one look like human thoughts and which one look like a foolishness in the eyes of the world but God thoughts? Tell me, which one? Okay, if I'm a pastor, I walk in a church like this. Hi. I'm a pastor. Could you please like this to me? Thank you. Good. Good job. I'm a cat group leader. I'm not going to show my emotion. I have my dignity. Hi. Is this humble or prideful? Okay. You think this is wise in the man, eyes of man? Yes. In the eyes of man, you are the great leader. You need to. This is the wise wisdom of man. Dignity. Yes. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
But a 50 years old man, a neurosurgeon, a pastor with three kids, come in and a drunk. You think this is foolish in the eyes of the world? It's very foolish. You think he is prideful or humble? Very humble. You know why? Because he has the brokenness of his life. Amen. That the flesh, amen, is dead.
Ooh.
The Holy Spirit cannot work in you and through you fully until you need to die to your flesh. And this is the flesh. The flesh is not this. The flesh is this. You haven't saluted me. No emotion. This is the flesh. Is that true?
Yes.
I mean, who in the world will walk around laughing and get drunk in front of public? I remember one time, I went to a meeting. Oh, I prepare. I went to a meeting, American church. I was invited to go there. I was sitting there, and suddenly, the worship leader already told me, this is a very powerful worship leader that used to lead worship with Darlene Seng. Okay? He said, Dr. Lau, I'm going to ask you to give testimony. Oh, right away, my flesh come up. I'm going to say that about me, about this. I'm going to go up and share my testimony. They call me, Pastor Lau, come up here. I grab the microphone. And I want to share about my life, about my church, how big, how good pastor I am. Look at me. You know, I come up. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon me in front of about 1,000 eyes. And I was like this. And I started to laugh and drunk. And I fall on the ground without no one lay hand on me. I was on the ground and I was very embarrassed. I tell you, I just... Because the whole city know that I'm a neurosurgeon. Very prestigious neurosurgeon. 50 years old man. Pastor. And my wife was sitting there. I feel so... And she had to come out and grab microphone and say something for me. Because I was gone on the floor and I was drunk on the ground for about half an hour in front of the whole congregation. You think it's that pride? All the thoughts of God. My dear brother and sister, if God cannot get rid of your pride first, you cannot be used fully by God. Amen. In my experience, actually, the move of God is so good. I will not exchange to anything else now. You know, one thing that happened to me, and I'm going to go on to read some scripture. Personally, this is what I feel. After I've been touched by God again and again, I feel that I am a glove. I'm a glove. Because God filled me again, again and again. My flesh being killed and killed and crucified and crucified and decrease and decrease and decrease and decrease and decrease. Every time God touched me, the Holy Spirit keep filling up. So now everywhere I walk in the city, even to my own wife, when I look at her, I feel this way. I tell you the truth. I'm not kidding. I feel that when I look at people, I feel that Jesus is looking to them through me. I don't feel that Dr. Pastor Lau looking anymore. Not like, another way, if I look at you, I don't feel like Pastor Lau and you dealing with each other. I feel like Jesus is looking through me because I am just a vessel, a glove. That Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit, is so filled. Sometimes I feel like almost like a Samson, like want to explode. And looked in you and, oh, so precious, so beautiful. Oh, I love you. I want you to get the best. I want you to be blessed. I care for you. Oh, God. What can I do to bless you? That's how I feel. Sometimes I walk around and say, God, oh, these people, so loving. They're so precious. Oh, you know, it's not me anymore. It's I'm so filled with the Holy Ghost in the inside. Now, I see the secret how Jesus was walking. You remember Jesus say in John chapter 5 verse 19, he say, the Son of Man cannot do anything except he saw what the Father do. Now I understand because the spirit of the Father is in the inside of me. So when I walk, I want just to do what the Father do. What the Father do? What the Father does? Love, peace, joy. I want to bless. Father is a giver. I want to give. I don't want to take from anyone. You notice I come here, I never ask for offering for myself because I want to come to give. I want people to be blessed. I forgive when people hurt me. Okay. The Holy Spirit inside me, forgive, bless them, love them, pray for them. Sometimes I tell you, this is a true story. I'm not kidding. Sometimes I look at some woman, you know, and they may look very, you know, woman in America, I don't know why they have this kind of clothes. And thank God for Thailand. In America, people like to wear, women like to wear very low pant and high t-shirt like this, you know, and very deep neck. So you can see a little bit here. So as a man, you walk around and when you walk in the shopping mall and the woman walk in front of you, you see their butt and walk. And I tell you, this is a true story. I'm not kidding. I tell you, if it happened 10 years ago, my heart gonna be full of lust. But lately, I look, I'm not lying. It's true. I look and I try to say, okay, let me try to be like a real man. Even though I'm married, I have a wife, let me think like a real man. I start to think lustfully about her. And I tell you, I cannot even think. Can I think lustfully with this woman? I cannot. And not only that, I look at her. This is like a daughter of God. I want to witness to you. I want to tell you the gospel. It's amazing. Not me. Because I decrease so much. But the Holy Spirit increase so much, I cannot even think like the old Dr. Lau anymore. Jesus. What a blessing! I don't need to force myself to obey the law, but the Spirit or the inside of me make me see things and look at things and talk like Jesus. Now I see the hope that I can be like Jesus by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. I tell you, with revival, the Holy Spirit is so full on the inside of me. I tell you, if I wake up with sore throat a little bit and fever, I tell you, in one day, it's gone. Because the Spirit of God is so full, it killed the virus. I never get sick for a long time. Sometimes I woke up with sore throat, I say, in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God on the inside of me, kill this virus. Bam. By the evening, the sore throat is gone, fever is gone. How many people want to live in revival? Oh, I want to live in revival. I don't want to live in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not kidding. This is true story. Hallelujah. I preach from my experience and it's biblical though. This is not making up. This is not something wrong, pet doctrine. This is in the Bible. That when the Spirit on the inside of you is so strong, sickness and disease cannot be on you. You're going to be full of joy, full of strength. That's why Samson can kill the lion, because he's so full of the Spirit of God. That's why you're so full of boldness. Because when the Spirit of God is full, you're going to be full of boldness. You're not afraid of death. Amen. Or persecutions. Hallelujah. Look at what happened in the early church. And I'm going to end because of the time. Or you can want, I can go on too, if you want. Look at what happened when revival, when the outpouring Holy Spirit. How many people know that the early church was birthed by revival? How many people know that the early church was not birthed by Bible school? It was birthed by the anointing. How many people know that why the Pharisees were so against Jesus Christ? I believe that if Jesus show up in Thailand right now, every church except this church is going to welcome Jesus. Because when Jesus show up, somebody cry in the church during the service. The roof will be pulled off. The swine will run into the sea. He's gonna spit on you. He's gonna walk around. I think member gonna run away. Spit, spit, spit. He's gonna spit on the ground and put the mud on your eye, and you're gonna run out of that church and you say, I don't want this pastor. I don't want this guy. He look crazy. You know why Jesus was on the cross? You know why the Pharisees hate him? You know why people rejected Jesus? Not because he is a theologian, not because he have master degree from Bible school, not because he's such a great teacher. No, because of the anointing. The spirit of Antichrist was working then. You know what Christ means? Christ means the anointed one. The spirit of Antichrist was against Jesus 2,000 years ago. The spirit of Antichrist still against the anointing today. That's why religion don't like the church that move in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings the anointing. Amen. We need the anointing. My dear brother and sister, I want to say one more time, especially to all believers, Christianity is not law, principle, rule, methodology. Do this. Christianity is not a form of godliness. Look good on the outside. Christianity is about intimate, loving relationship with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you are a real Christian, you will love the presence of God. You will love the touch of the Spirit of God. Because the touch is like when I hold my son up in my arms and tickle him. Tickle him. Is that relationship? Or is that religion? It's about relationship. That's why I love to see when God touch people and tickle them and they laugh and they get drunk. You know why? It's beautiful in my eyes. Because it's about relationship between the Father and His children. Amen. It's not just a form of godliness and deny the power of God thereof. Wake up! It's not about tradition. It's not just about going to ritual ceremony in the church. It's about relationship. That's why Christians who understand the real, it's the heart of God, will welcome, will love the presence of God. And who care? If God touch me, I cry, I laugh, I get drunk. Who care? I don't mind. Because I love to be touched by God, because it's about relationship. And His touch gonna change you. Amen. Is it clear? I try to change your thinking today, because I know that you are trained in a religious way. You are trained to just follow religious program. You go to care group, you have a paper come up, okay, sing three songs, and then Thanksgiving offering, and then sing three slow songs, and then teaching, and say bye-bye, go home. But Holy Spirit never show up. So you just have a form of godliness, but you don't have a power moving in your group. Oh, I tell you, I'd rather stay home and watch TV if I go to that kind of meeting. I want the real presence of God in the meeting, because it's about relationship. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, 41. What happened after revival? Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. When you are touched by revival, when you are touched by the Holy Spirit, I can guarantee people around you are going to get saved one by one. Amen. The saving of souls is going to come into your life and your church. Amen. It's going to be easier. People are going to get saved easier. In Seattle Church, there are a lot of people who are in revival right now. I tell you, you saw that production a while ago. Those people that you saw in the movie are from my church, that they go out and knock door and people get saved every week. People get saved every week because they're so on fire. They want to go and tell Jesus. They're so bold because they touched by God on Sunday. On Monday, they say, I cannot stand still. I need to go tell somebody that God is so real. God touched me. People are going to get saved easily. Amen. I remember I used to be like a chicken. Very coward. I dare not talk about God to my patient. Nowadays, easy. Why? Because the boldness of God on the inside of me. I just tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? In the past, I dare not say that in my clinic, in my office. But now because of boldness, because soul will come with revival. What the rivers go to? Let me ask this question. What the river bring you to? To the sea. And where what are in the, what is in the sea? Fish. So the rivers of God of revival gonna bring you to the fish, and the fish gonna get saved because you are the fisher of men. Amen. Number 2, Acts chapter 2 verse 42. The outcome of revival. They continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Oh, I tell you, revival will change your prayer life. Revival will make you love to fellowship with one another. I heard that some people in this church go to 3 care groups in 1 week. Is it true? 3 care groups. And I heard that you go to care group and you don't want to go home. You stick there until midnight. You know why? Because revival make you want to fellowship. Revival bring freedom in the fellowship. You don't have this kind of flesh. You know, when you go to care group sometimes, without revival, the flesh come to the flesh. You look very spiritual, but actually, you're not spiritual. You're flesh and flesh. I'm a care group leader. You just a follower. You need to follow me. You need to obey me, okay? I'm a care group leader. Flesh and flesh. How many people experienced that before? The flesh fight with the flesh in the care group, and eventually you don't want to go. But in the spirit, everyone look like a children. So you love to be there because the presence of God is there. Amen. Amen. How many people agree that now, since you are in revival, you don't have to drag your feet out of the bed on Sunday anymore? You just love to come to church now. You don't drag your feet anymore. Why? Because you want to go and meet God there. It's more excited. Amen. Amen. Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What happened? The outcome of revival, number 3, fear. The fear of God will come to the church. I noticed that since I have revival in my own life and in my church, people repent of their sin so quickly. Is that right, Gina? Is Gina still here? Is that right that you repent of your sin so quickly? God convict you at the spot when you want to sin. And you know why people repent quickly? Because of the fear of God. When the Spirit of God fill you, you feel His presence. You cannot sin. I tell you, you cannot, you know, if God is watching over me right now. So you have the fear of God. Amen. Amen. And the church needs the fear of God. And not only that, the Bible says that signs and wonders were done. So you're going to see signs and wonders in the church. People are going to get healed. Demon going to come out. Last Saturday in my church in Seattle, we have a special service called Breaking Generation Curse. I will bring that to this church one day. And I tell you, we pray. We teach from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and start to pray for people from 6 p.m. and done by 11:30 p.m. And people stay to them. And many demons come out. We pray for one Thai lady. She said that before she became a Christian, she heard the voice all the time. Many voices. Oh, do that, do this. And she thought that it's God. And she got saved, and when she came, she find out that voice is not God. It's the devil, demon. So she came, when she walked into the room, into our church building that day, because we're going to cast out demon. She walked in, about 100 voices tell her, leave right now, don't go in. And this is a true story. Then we lay hand on her about maybe 10:30 p.m. that night. She fell under the power and she screamed like this. She screamed, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. For a long time. So we just cast out demon. Oh, one thing I want to let you know. When you cast out demon, don't talk to them. Don't argue with them. Don't ask them anything because demon lie to you anyway. Don't listen to them. They lie. They are liars. Okay? So when cast out demon, go down. In Jesus' name, go right now by the authority. Don't have to argue. Do by the fire of God. Use the fire of God to burn them out. Amen. Amen. So when she got up from the floor, she looked changed because the demon went out. And she told us that she did not even know that she was crying. I don't want to go. She thought that she just cried. She didn't know that she was talking like that. Demon talked to her mouth. Oh, I tell you, that night many demons came out from my members. Maybe one of these days they're going to come back and teach about demonology. Casting out demons. How many people want to learn how to cast out demons? I need to come back more. Amen. he like this. Right? Amen. Learn about casting out demons. Amen. The fear of God will be in the heart of people. We will see signs and wonders. Amen. Signs and wonders. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 4 to 5. This is interesting scripture. This is interesting scripture. Not applied to many preachers nowadays. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Paul said that I didn't try to use nice word to convince you. A word of wisdom. But I will do under the demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when you are in revival, what happened? You begin to move in the power. I remember Arash told me last week or so, he prayed for a kid to get hurt in the knee. And the kid was healed instantly in the school. So he did not preach only with word or with just nice word, but he demonstrated the power and of the Spirit of God. How many people want to walk that way? That you demonstrate the power and of the Spirit of God? Amen. Amen. How can you demonstrate the power if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. Let the Holy Spirit work in you before he can work through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 to 45, the Bible says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. My dear brother and sister, revival will bring generosity in the heart of people. Since I and my wife have been in revival, we are more generous than before. We give and give and give and money come back and give and money come back and give and money come back. Revival bring prosperities and generosity. How many people want prosperity? You cannot have prosperity without generosity. Because you have to sow before you reap. We have to sow before you. How can you become prosperous without sowing? So you keep giving and giving and giving, and then you keep reaping and reaping and reaping. Revival never destroy the church. Revival will help your business. Because not only you give and your business will be blessed by God, but when you do the business, when you talk to your customer, God will give you wisdom what to say. God's favor will be upon you because you love the presence of God. How many people know Obed-Edom? Anyone know Obed-Edom? Raise your hand up. Oh, no one know Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. And we're going to talk about that maybe at another time in detail. Obed-Edom, what happened? King David tried to take the Ark of the Covenant out to his city. You remember the story? And he did in a wrong way. He put the ark. The ark represents the manifest, tangible presence of God or the glory of God. Kabod. Compared today, we don't need the ark anymore. We need the real Holy Spirit now. But at that time, the Holy Spirit was not in men and women, except king, priest, and prophet. So the Holy Spirit was in the Ark of the Covenant. So when the Ark goes anywhere, it means that the glory of God goes there. You understand what I mean? Okay, what happened? King David put the Ark on a cart and have two person kind of ride the cart with a cow. And then the cow stumbled. When the cow stumbled, the arm kind of fall off the cart. Are you following me? So what happened? A man named Uzziah touched the Ark of the Covenant to hold it so that it would not fall on the ground. He died instantly. How many people know why he died? How long ago it dropped down? Just now, okay. Because I don't want to lose the teaching. How many people know why God punished him and King David? Because according to the law of Moses, in order to take the Ark of the Covenant to anywhere, you need to put two poles on each side with four men carry the Ark like this. Not on the cart, not with a cow. Because in other words, God tried to say that only human being can carry my glory, not the cow, not the cart. So they were punished. What happened? King David was so fearful. He put the Ark of the Covenant or the glory of God or the presence of God or the kabod into the house of a man named Obed-Edom. And why the Ark was there for 3 months? The house of Obed-Edom was blessed. King David heard about it and he was mad. That should be in my house. That blessing should not be yours, Obed-Edom. I'm going to get the ark back to my house. Therefore, the church that believe and welcome the Ark of the Covenant or the kabod or the glory of God will be blessed financially. I pay off my church building already last year. And we have quite a lot of money left in the bank right now. Even though we give too much, we never ask from anyone. We never ask from any church to help us. We pay off. We have members in my church. Business is going up and going up. You know, I don't work a lot, but my income 3 times more than my friend. I travel all the time to churches. Why? Because I carry kabod, the Ark of the Covenant in my life. He is in my house. He is in my house. The presence of God is in my house. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. I'm going to stop here for the sake of time. Acts 2:47. The sixth reason, the sixth benefit of revival, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily those who were being saved. They praise God. Your worship life will be different. When you worship God, you will love to worship. The revival church will love to worship God. They don't mind to worship long hours. Love to worship. Love to sing song. Love to spend time with God. Love in the car. You will listen to the music, worship music. You love to worship because you're so full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. My dear brother and sister, one day, some of you may go to plant churches somewhere. But that church must be revival church. Amen. 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 So now, get as much as you can. Get the fire of God as much as you can before you go somewhere. Get the fire of God as much as you can so that when you go out in the street, when you go to the marketplace, when you go to workplace, the fire of God will go with you and it will bring result. In the end time like this, we want to move with the fire of God. So the work will be done faster. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people say, I want revival? How many people are hungry? I want to encourage you to stay in revival. Don't quit. Don't back off into religion. Religion means giving you the law. And you must follow the law. But Christianity bring the presence of God. The Holy Spirit fill you up, and you will do whatever He wants you to do out of the Holy Spirit, not because of the law. Actually, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night and Sunday night, about what the Holy Spirit help you to walk without even worrying about the law too much. I don't need a lot of text, big textbook to follow me and read the book, what I need to do each day, because I am led by the Spirit, not by the book. You know the book as a guideline, but you don't need to read the book to do it, because the Holy Spirit fill you and you just follow the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stay in revival. Let's stay in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And God is going to use somebody to be the hand to ignite the fire of God in that city. Now God is using Pastor Lek to ignite the fire in Nakhon Pathom. God can use woman to ignite the fire of God. Amen. And God can use you to ignite the fire of God wherever you go. It's not only for me, it's for everyone. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit for all men and women, young and old. Is that right? Not just for one person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray, and then we will lay hand on people. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us about revival through your word. Father, I pray tonight that your people will be touched by the fire of God. Their life will never be the same. And they will understand and experience the goodness of God. They will say that I test the goodness of God already. And I don't want to come out anymore. I want to stay there in the mountain of God. Oh Lord, tonight may the hunger of your people call the Holy Spirit down here to touch people, Lord. No one who is touched by the Spirit will be the same, Lord, or be changed by the fire of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help your people to be humble, Lord, that tonight they will forget about their hairstyle, their makeup, their clothes, their dignity, their reputation. They say, God, I don't care anymore what people think about me. I am so desperate, like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm so desperate to be changed by your fire. Bring revival to me, Father, first. Heal me, Lord. Touch me. Cleanse me. Mold me and melt me, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,